born in Loma Linda, California, who knows where that's at? Okay, good number of you. So I was born there. I wasn't raised there, so I'm a pastor's kid. And I got some reactions already. So all of you might have some judgments about that. But a pastor's kid, I was raised as a pastor's kid. So we traveled around Southern California. And even just the experience of being a pastor's kid is very different from each pastor's kid. I was blessed to have a very close-knit family where my father went through a lot of hardships, but we went through it together as a family. So I don't know, by show of hands, who here is a PK? Okay, quite a few of you. A pastor's kid, yeah. And so as a pastor's kid, growing up in the church, I saw a lot of hardship. I looked around and I saw a lot of broken families. I looked around and I saw a lot of divorce. I saw a lot of anxiety, depression. And that's within the church and outside of the church. And so as I grew up, I started to question, like, you know, what's going on here? What's leading to this brokenness? What's leading to this family discord? Right? Maybe you've looked around in your own life and you wonder the same faith. And so I saw this, and especially in the church, and you wonder, like, if people in the church have, like, the hope of glory, right? The hope of the heaven coming. How can we still struggle? And that's something that we'll cover this weekend. But it got me thinking. And at first, when seeing the suffering, I thought, oh, maybe I'll be a doctor. And I started realizing, you know, with a doctor, it's a beautiful calling. But I noticed a lot of times, even people can have physical healing and still be suffering. And so God started to draw me towards psychology. But I had my own experiences when I was in, I was PK, but I went to a public school. And so in public school, I got bullied. I was the type of kid that was very independent. I didn't really care that I was being bullied. But it was still hard. It was really hard, the isolation. I remember going to a new school, and I tried for a little bit to try to fit in. I tried, you know, hanging out with the popular kids. I started cursing more to try to, like, fit in. And I just realized, this is not me. It felt very, I don't know how to describe it, but incongruent to who I was. But I had those pressures, right, to fit in. In high school, also the same pressures. And I often would eat alone. I'd often be alone. I had older siblings that went to the school, but, you know, you don't want to hang out with your older siblings. You don't want to hang out with you. I'm the baby of the family. And so a lot of experiences where you just feel very isolated and you feel very strange, like you just don't fit in. And a lot of attempts to fit in. And so I went through high school, had those experiences, went to college, and I realized that a lot of times I didn't quite fit in because I had this connection with God. And it was hard for me to sometimes try to fit into the world when I had this relationship with God. Sometimes, like, I was so alone. I remember one time I went to PE, and I was there, and I was just praying to God. I was like, hey, God, what are we going to do for PE today? Like, God's my only friend at this point. And not how to be like, oh, that's so sad. It was a blessing to be able to rely on God when I had no one, especially in school. But again, this idea that I didn't fit in as a baby, you often were like shooed to the side. You know, in schools I didn't fit in. And then in college, I finally had the opportunity to start pursuing my own path. So you guys are not quite there yet, but it's such a blessing to start carving your own path. At this age, you have a lot of people telling you what to do, right? I heard of Yeah, you know, a lot of people telling you what to do. You're kind of going through the flows of life. And college was a huge opportunity for me to start pursuing what God was placing on my heart. And that was psychology. But I didn't quite understand, like some people say, like, oh, I knew from the day I was born that I was going to be a blank. I didn't have that experience, but God was slowly kind of giving me ideas. So when in college, I finally majored in psychology, and I wasn't much for school, so I was like, okay, I guess I got to do college. And so I went there and I did my bachelor's, and then after my bachelor's, I was like, okay, what can I do in psychology? They're like, nothing. Like, oh, okay, I have to do graduate school. And so I went on to the next step. All this to say, we all have our different experiences. But through it all, I want to touch you guys, to talk about with you guys this idea of being seen. You don't know what people are going through around you. You might think you have an idea, even your bestest friend, you might have an idea, but you don't know each other's stories, right? You might have looked at me and you might have some judgments, you might have some ideas, but I have a story, right? Each and every one of you have a story. And I wanted to read a story for you that really, really touched me. I heard this in, I believe, junior high. And then this is like one of the stories that I heard that also inspired me to become a psychologist. But this talks about two high schoolers. So it says that one day, he was a freshman in high school, and he saw one of his fellow students walking in his neighborhood. And I want you guys to imagine this, okay? So he's walking through his neighborhood, and he sees this this other student, and he's carrying all of his books. So now he's carrying heavy all his books, and he thinks, wow, what a nerd. He's carrying all of his books home for the weekend to study. Right? You might have had those judgments on some people before. What a nerd. He's carrying all of his books home to study that weekend. Why would anyone bring home all their books on a Friday? And he's like, you know, for me, I have a weekend planned with a lot of events and be hanging out. He was popular in school. And so he keeps on walking, like, whatever. And then there's these other kids that come by, and they start bullying this other kid, the nerd. And they start bullying, and then finally they knock over him, and all of his books go flying. So again, I want you guys to imagine. Sometimes you might think, oh, am I that nerd? Am I the person that's watching? Am I the bully? And so he, feeling sorry for him, like, let me go help him out, but I want to make sure that nobody's watching me. So he's like, nobody's around, let me go help him out. So he starts helping him pick up his books, and then they start talking a little bit, and he asks, like, oh, where are you going? And he's like, oh, just around the corner here. And he didn't realize that they're actually neighbors. And so he said, okay, I'll help you take your books to your home. So they start walking, and they talk a little bit, and he's like, hey, this guy is actually pretty cool. And so some time passes, and he sees them again in the neighborhood, and makes sure no one's around, and starts spending some time, and they start walking home together. Week after week, they start building a friendship. They're like, hey, they're both pretty cool, and the nerd has some judgments on the jock as well, like, ooh. But then they start realizing, wow, we have a lot in common. And they become friends. And so when that happens, you know, he said, you know, thank you so much for helping me. He had this huge smile of gratitude. Time passes. Now they're at the end of their high school. And the nerd becomes the valedictorian of their school. And it's graduation time. And the nerd goes up to the podium and is going to give a speech. So I want to read it to you. He says, you know, over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. You know, we teased each other all the time about whether being a nerd or being a jock, but we were friends, good friends. The nerd then also became a little popular because of the jock. The jock became a little bit smarter, studying with him, and they became good friends. And he said, graduation is a day to say thanks. Thanks to those who made a difference. He says, you know, you say thanks to your teachers, you say thanks to your principal, you say thanks to your parents, maybe a coach, but mostly your friends. He says, I'm here to tell you that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them. And he says, I'm going to tell you a story. And he continues on to say, you know, 3 years ago, I met my friend. I was walking home from school, carrying all my books. I cleaned out my locker because I was going to kill myself over the weekend. He said, I was cleaning out my locker because I didn't want my mom to do it. And nobody knew, not my mom, not my friend. And he looked at the friend while giving the speech and he said, but thankfully, I was saved. He said, my friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. And I heard the gasp go through the crowd as I heard the gasp here. And realized that one simple act of friendliness, one simple act of kindness, of seeing someone else's story, of being open to seeing someone else, save someone's life. The reason why I wanted to share this story is we have a saying in psychology that how do you know someone's depressed or how do you know someone's suicidal? Does anyone know? Want to guess? We say that they're smiling. And we say that because we are very good at hiding our brokenness. We are very good at hiding when we're going through the most difficult times of our lives. This individual, he was able to hide. You know, he was just carrying his books one day. And his friend couldn't see what was going to happen. But just because of the friendliness that he showed, he was able to save a life. And so I wanted to share this with you all, because there are people here, according to the stats, there are people here in this room that are having thoughts of suicide, that are having thoughts of significant depression, anxiety, you name it. And that's not uncommon. That's not something that to be ashamed about. But that's to say that as a community, it is our responsibility. You know, how do you prevent suicide? How do you prevent these things from happening? Is exactly what this story tells us, is to reach out. You don't know if the person next to you is struggling. You don't know if you're the person next to you doesn't know if you're the person that's struggling. And so I just want to quickly read a verse in the Bible that speaks to me. It's in Galatians 6. So either if you have your Bibles or if you don't, I'm going to just quickly read it. Galatians 6. 6 verse 2. So Galatians chapter 6 verse 2. Does anyone have that you'd like to read? Galatians 6, verse 2. Go ahead, yeah. With a loud voice.
Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We often think about fulfilling the law of Christ by doing the commandments. Here it says, bear one another's burdens. It is your responsibility throughout this weekend as we talk about mental health. The reason why I wanted to talk to you guys individually is right here, this is one unit. You may have your little cliques, you may have your friendships, but you guys are responsible for one another. The person you like the least, you're responsible for them. Not out of a sense of obligation, but a sense that you deeply care. It is a commandment to bear one another's burdens. And so, this is a challenge for you all to rely on one another. Not just who your friends are, but those who you may not see their brokenness, those that you may not see their stories. You could be used by God to save someone else. So let's have a closing word of prayer. Dear God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your mercy towards us. Lord, we thank you for your unconditional love towards us. Lord, we know that that love that we experience through you comes with the responsibility of reaching out to others, Lord. Lord, I know without a doubt there are people in this room right now that are struggling. Lord, that they're surrounded by darkness, they can't see the light. Lord, I pray for this weekend that it may bring some light and hope into their lives. But Lord, I pray for the lasting effects that past this weekend, Lord, that here in this academy, that they may fulfill this commandment of bearing each other's burdens, O God. Not just the staff helping the students, but the students here helping one another, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit may touch each and every one here. Lord, that they may have a sense of honesty and vulnerability in relying on one another. It's hard, Lord, to be honest, to say that I'm struggling.
Lord, I pray that there be an environment here that is warm and welcoming and nurturing in a way that people here can share each other's burdens. Lord, we can't do it by ourselves, and so we ask for your love. And Lord, we just pray that you may be present here this weekend and on the weekend as well. So bless each person here, bless their families in a very special way. And Lord, thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.